This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast. I'm Frank Rossi. I'm the Turf Extension Specialist here at Cornell University. And this weekly podcast is brought to you in partnership between our Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program and our friends at the New York State Turfgrass Association, found on the web at www.nysta.org. This is the podcast for the week of October 26, 2015. That's Volume 16, Issue 29. The cooler morning temperatures are now sending clear signals that the growing season is coming to an end. High traffic areas should still benefit from dark material top dressing, paint, or pigments at this time. These products are known to increase surface temperatures and encourage some additional growth. These slight adjustments, if feasible in your operation, will aid with turf performance during the last few weeks of the season. Also, we are coming down to the last week where there is likely enough ET to encourage uptake of fertilizer, so consider a 0.3 to 0.5 pound soluble N application in the next week, but avoid applications in heavy rainfall events or when soil is saturated, as is expected this week with the hurricane remnants. Finally, annual bluegrass infestations have been on the rise the last few seasons in many locations as a result of excessive use, weak dry turf that thins and is invaded, improper irrigation, lack of overseeding, and our inability to use herbicides. As we discuss in this issue, there are a variety of herbicide control options available, but we require careful consideration of desirable turf fertility, overseeding rate, and timing. Fall-applied tenacity in conjunction with fertilizer applications, needed anyway this fall on lawns and sport turf, will enhance control. So consider timing an application when air temps are above 50 degrees Fahrenheit with tenacity, and again at two-week intervals. It seems many of these areas with intermediate and true winter annual type annual bluegrasses are susceptible to the herbicide. At this time, and when used in conjunction with fertilizer N and overseeding, can reduce annual bluegrass populations 50 to 70% over a year. A note about the weather. A below normal temperature week with most 2 to 6 degrees below normal. Cooler than normal to the south and only slightly cooler to the north. Growing degree days are unlikely to accumulate much more north of central New Jersey with average daily temps below 50 degrees. Soils are cooling more rapidly now with most in the mid to upper 50s. Generally dry conditions prevailed across the region with most receiving less than a quarter inch except for a swath of half to 1 inch across western New York. ET is now in the quarter to half inch range and some dry conditions are persisting along the coast. Drought and soil maps continue to show less area under drought stress or moisture deficit conditions. The forecast is following another showery and cooler than normal weekend. Expect a warm up into the mid-50s and low 60s into the Wednesday time frame, followed by a substantial system moving in late Wednesday, followed by some cooler weather and return to regular frost conditions into the next weekend. So we're getting cooler weather coming. Our regional clips begin with Randy Prostak, University of Massachusetts. Be sure air temps are above 50 degrees when making broadleaf weed control applications and don't apply before heavy rain. Nick Benchek, professor at SUNY Farmingdale, tells us that it's a good time now for Long Island lawns and sports fields to receive their late season nitrogen application, and 0.3 to 0.5 pounds of N with soluble sources will be good per 1,000 square feet. From Dave Chinnery in the Capital District, lawns now moving into the quiet period. Still saw lawn care products available for timely late season weed and feed control. And from Walt Nelson, municipalities in Monroe County are collecting leaves along the curbside as usual. No real pressure to mulch tree leaves into lawns. Most rake them to the curb. And a couple of questions from the field. Can I suppress annual bluegrass at this time of year in my Kentucky bluegrass rough sports fields or lawns? Annual bluegrass populations on Kentucky bluegrass used for lawns, sports fields, or golf course rubs and fairways often contain high percentages of annual or intermediate types that are more susceptible to post-emergence control programs. There is a body of research on three products that are available for use at this time: Prograss, Velocity, and Tenacity. Velocity is not recommended on Kentucky bluegrass due to the potential turf injury known to occur on certain midnight type and aggressive compact types. The best Prograss programs on Kentucky bluegrass are 2 quarts per acre of the EC formulation applied in November and December and March. Now, this will require some modification if you go north of the thruway based on air temperatures. Tenacity has been more heavily researched the last few years, and significant refinements to the annual bluegrass control programs have been made. First, studies show consistently that applications in conjunction with soluble N fertilizer that stimulates annual bluegrass growth will significantly increase efficacy. As little as 0.5 pound of N per thousand improves control 40%. Overseeding also enhances annual bluegrass control of perennial ryegrass or Kentucky bluegrass. Again, overseeding increases control 30%. Finally, there are at least 2 applications required at the 5 to 8 ounce per acre rate at 2-week intervals. Some studies have investigated 5 to 10 applications, and while they work well, often do not increase injury, they exceeded the label rate's allowance for a season. The next question is that I've heard fall-applied pre-emergence crabgrass control might help with the failure I experienced this season. Should I consider fall-applied pre's? The 2015 growing season presented some challenges to timing and effectiveness of chemical crabgrass control programs, some related to persistent stress on the lawn from slow, cool spring followed by very wet June and then very dry conditions into the fall. At the same time, products applied very early in the season faced the 10 to 15% longer growing season and above normal temps that likely needs to more rapid degradation of the herbicide. Also, the very dry conditions may have prevented the herbicide from becoming activated by soil moisture and was not able to establish the protective barrier. Fall applied pre-emergence herbicide for next season's crabgrass control would not be recommended. Yes, there are studies from the late 1980s and early 90s where dinitroaniline products such as prodiamine, barricade, and dithiopyr dimension did provide good control the following season. However, over a multi-year period, this approach was not consistent. Also, any persistent winter injury was difficult to recover as the herbicide often persists and prevents new seed germination. Time pre-emergent applications effectively in the spring. And finally, a note about sports field assessment tools. As sports turf users move into the latter part of the playing season, especially these last few weeks when grass growth potential is less than 20% of ideal, safety and performance will be compromised. It also can be this time when many players, coaches, admins, and current community members notice the wear and tear. This is an ideal time to engage in a conversation about field safety and maintenance. We've developed generic maintenance calendars on the Safe Sports Fields website at Cornell, and also recommend you review the variety of field assessments tools we have at the site and available at the STMA, or the Sports Turf Managers Association, Safe Fields website as well. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you by Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program and the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name's Frank Rossi. I'm the Turf Extension Specialist here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.